Entertaining a band.
Is everyone ready for the day of the Lord? You'll be in the Spirit, won't you? In the Spirit on the Lord. Okay, that's good to know that. Do you want to open up with prayer? Okay. I thought you might. Really, if you study, there will be no problem. If you didn't study, you might have a little problem. Huh? Just depends on who you talk to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your precious name, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to learn more of your word, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for the tests and the trials that come to our life, Father. Lord, for we know it is through the tests that we grow, Lord. It is through the tests that we find motivation to press on with you, Father. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray for a spirit of peace and calmness in the heart of every student here tonight, Lord. I pray that they would have the ability to do the best that they possibly can, Father. Lord, and I pray that they would commit the rest into your hands and not strive and be in turmoil about what they cannot do, Lord. Lord, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would impart to them remembrance of the truth, O God. Help them in every area possible, Lord. Jesus, just continue to be with us here tonight. I know you will, Lord. Lord, and I pray just anoint us and bless us tonight as we would study this. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We couldn't start until Gloria came. As soon as Gloria got here, we can now start. That's sweet as you praise in the Lord out of this happy situation. It's easy for the teacher to joke around on test day.
If you're listening on tape, this is file number two. File number two. Take you about a half hour to take it.
So what you want to do is, sometime along about 7:30, we're going to correct it. We don't want to pressure anyone as far as time is concerned, but about a half hour should be adequate. Make sure you write your name on the front of page number one. Start, I want to say a few things though about the desk.
Okay, that's extra? They're extra. Just set them on the desk behind you. I'll pick them up in a few minutes. Okay, part one, check all that apply. You know how that works. Those are always a big hit. Part two on page two, multiple choice. There's only one correct answer with that. So for each one of those, one response. Then part three, short answer, and that's what we mean. They're not essay questions, so just be real brief and to the point. But make sure you write down the gist of the answer if you know it. And then part four, now notice with part four now, it's not check all that apply, it's true or false. So you want to put either a T or an F in each one of those blanks. So on part four, every response should have an answer in front of it, either true or false. And that's it. Okay, so probably take you about a half hour.
I'll be sitting in the back if you have any questions about something you will understand from the questions. Thank you. probably some of you feel like
filling it up in a scroll and sending it to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, exchange with your friend and correct your friend's test with a different colored pen, if at all possible. And the way I'd like to have you do it, mark the correct answer when they have one wrong and put a slash to the response when it's wrong. And then put the minus point value in the margin. Only the minus, not the plus, but the minus point value in the margin. And make sure that you look on the top of each question what the point value should be so that we correct them accurately. Now, if you have any questions, go ahead and ask me what the situation is. Put only the minus. They have one wrong. For example, in number one, then it's minus one in the margin. And then make sure you put the correct answer down. Number one, check each statement that contributes to the evidence that John was not talking about keeping a Saturday Sabbath when he mentioned the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10. Well, here are the ones that should be checked. C should be checked. John refers to the Sabbath day several times in the Gospel, never once calls it the Lord's Day. D, the Sabbath day is never called the Lord's Day in Scripture. That's true. E, the New Testament nowhere teaches the keeping of the Sabbath day. So that's true. And then F, the New Testament teaches that the Sabbath day was fulfilled in Christ. That's true as well. So it should be C, D, E, and F. Number two, check each statement that contributes to the evidence that John was not talking about keeping a Sunday Sabbath when he mentioned the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10. Well, A should be checked. Scripture nowhere teaches that the Sabbath day was changed to a Sunday. C should be checked. Regular Sunday worship had not yet been instituted in the church when John wrote of the Lord's Day. D should be checked. Catholic writers state that the Catholic Church changed the Sabbath day. E should be checked. The Bible doesn't teach us to observe the day of Christ's resurrection. That's true. F, no scripture links the Lord's Day to the first day of the week. So A should be checked, C should be checked, D, E, and F should be checked, and B should be left blank. Any questions on that so far? Okay, number three. If the Sabbath day were still enforced in the New Testament, which of the following statements would also be true? Well, A should be checked. It wouldn't be optional. You'd be required to keep it. B should be checked. The Sabbath day would have had to have been kept from Friday at sundown until Saturday. That's how the Jews kept it in the Old Covenant. C, Christians who did not keep this day would be put to death according to the law. So that should be checked. D, we would also be required to observe the Old Testament feast days because God puts the Sabbath right in with the feast days and does not make any distinction between the two. So D should be checked. And then finally, F, even if the Sabbath day were still in force, this would still be no proof that the Lord's Day in Revelation 1:10 was a Sabbath day. So all of them should be checked except for E. Any questions on that first page? Yes. Okay, but you have to read the rest of the question now. It says, Scripture contains no example where first century Christians ever held a church service on the first day of the week, but then there's Acts chapter 20, where the saints were gathered together, and it was on the first day of the week, and Paul came in. Well, now listen. What would you call a service if the Apostle Paul came to our church and everyone came to listen to him? Would you call that a church service or not? I would call it a church service. No, wouldn't you? Well, I guess Friday night and Sunday night we should quit calling them church services then. No, I would call that a church service because when you get right down to it, really, what constitutes a church service? Is only what's printed on your bulletin as far as, you know, Friday night, Saturday, or Friday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, or really when the saints of God gather together to worship the Lord.
Right.
See, that's really a church service. And that's what they were doing. They took the time, they broke bread together. Paul was there for a long period of time. The Bible specifically says that he preached and taught the word to them. So in my opinion, that definitely constitutes a church service. Yes? Okay. Well, on a twofold basis. First of all, in the Old Covenant, when a Gentile became a proselyte and was converted to Judaism, he was commanded to keep the Sabbath day. And so if a Gentile came into the faith in the Old Covenant, he had to start keeping the Sabbath day. Now, the same thing would be true in the New Covenant if the Sabbath day was binding on the Jews. Now, look at the problem that you would have. Let's say in the New Covenant, if the Sabbath day was binding on the Jews that were converted. And then so they had to keep it. But if you were a Gentile, you didn't have to keep it. But then you've got in your church half Jews and half Gentiles. So half of the church is required to keep the Sabbath day and the other half aren't. So in other words, if the regulation applied to the Jews, it would apply to all of them. Because the Bible teaches there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ any longer. So the point is that if it was still binding in the New Testament, it would be binding for all the believers and not just the Jews. See? It would be a real perplexing problem if it was binding to just the Jewish Christians. Yeah. Yeah, but then... Okay, but then are you saying that the Sabbath was binding on the Jewish Christians? Okay. Well, then I don't see what the problem is. In other words, this is saying if the Sabbath was binding, it would be binding on both Jews and Gentiles. See, and the point is that it wasn't binding on the Gentiles. See, so therefore... If it was still in force for the Jews, it would also be in force for the Gentiles as well. They wouldn't be exempted. They'd have to keep it too. In other words, man wouldn't be able to ratify the thing to change it. So you have to keep it. If the Sabbath day is still in effect, you have to keep it the way God said to keep it. And all who would be in the faith would therefore have to keep it. Yes. Okay, anything else? Okay. Page number two. Part two. Number one. According to John 20, verse 19, why were the disciples gathered in the house on the first day of the week? Well, it tells you, D, they were afraid of the Jews who had crucified Christ. It gives you the very reason right in that verse why they were there. And so that's D. And it's minus two if they have it wrong. Number two, which of the following is a way in which Christians can fulfill the Sabbath? It should be E, by walking in the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit, you can fulfill the Sabbath. Number three, according to Hebrews 3 and 4, what is the main element necessary for entering into God's rest? Now, we're looking at Hebrews 3 and 4 here, so you have to stop and think what those chapters are talking about. And it's C, faith. Faith. You see, Israel, the whole chapter, the whole chapter is all about faith. The whole chapter is telling you that even though Israel in the Old Covenant, they were keeping the Sabbath day because of their unbelief and lack of faith, they weren't really entering into the rest that God had for them. And so it talks about how we, by faith, need to enter into that rest that God has for us. And the word that's used there is that sabbatismos, Sabbath rest that we have, and the way to enter into it is through faith. Now, if you didn't have the statement Hebrews 3 and 4 on there, if you just said, what is the main element necessary for entering into God's rest, then maybe you could argue for the respond speaking in other tongues or something like this. But the statement Hebrews 3 and 4 qualifies it. And the whole theme of those two chapters is faith. Okay, part three. Short answer. Number one, some Christians use the Apostle Paul's attendance of the synagogues as proof that he kept the Sabbath day. State two reasons why this is no proof. Now what you need to do, you need to look at theirs. And they need to have the gist of what I'm saying here. They won't word it exactly the way I say it. So exercise a bit of tolerance. But they do need to have the gist. Now, if it's clear to you that they don't have what I say, but you think that their answer might be plausible, then you can raise your hand and I'll see if you're not sure to mark it wrong or not. So, what would it be? Number one, there were two reasons that we know that Paul was not keeping the Sabbath day when he went to the synagogue. Number one, he went there to preach the gospel. He went there to preach the gospel. And number two, he taught in his own epistles, he taught in his own writings, that we don't have to keep the Sabbath day. So obviously he's not turning around and going into the synagogue to keep the Sabbath day. If he's writing in his own epistles, you don't need to keep the Sabbath day. So something along that line, he went into the synagogue to preach the gospel to the Jews or to share salvation message to the Jews. And then the other thought is that he taught in his own epistles, we don't need to keep the Sabbath day. Yes. The Bible does not say, is that the only answer they have? The Bible does not say. Okay, well that's really somewhat of an argument from silence maybe. I'm not sure that that would really get you anywhere. I didn't really mention that in class, so we'll have to mark that wrong. That's not quite close enough. It's a good stab in the dark. Someone's making a stab in the dark. It's a good stab in the dark. Gloria, did you have a... Okay, let's hold the talking down a little bit here so I can... Go ahead, Gloria. Yeah, that would be one answer. And then for the other, they'd have to have that he went there to preach the gospel. But that would be correct. Yeah, he's teaching there that you don't need to keep it. Yes?
In addition to saying that he went there to preach, not to observe the day, would it also be valid to say that if he wanted to preach to him, he'd have to go there on Sabbath because that was the only day he met? Or is that repeating?
That's really repeating it, yeah. Yeah, it's really repeating it. So that's, if you have that for two different responses, then it'd be just a minus one. Yes? Okay, it's just real simple. Point number one, he went there to preach or to share salvation with the Jews or whatever, lead them to Christ. And number two, he taught in his own epistles or writings that we don't need to keep the Sabbath day. Or he taught in his writings that the Sabbath day is fulfilled or whatever. They're not binding on believers or something like that. But the main thought is that he himself taught that you don't have to keep it, so he obviously would not be keeping it. Any other questions? Okay, good. Number two, in Colossians 2:16, Paul admonished, "Let no man judge you in respect of the Sabbath day." Now, what reason did he advance in this passage as to why we possess this liberty? Now, in order to answer that, you have to know what the passage says. But basically, the whole thing he advances is that they are but a shadow, and the substance is Christ. They're just a shadow. And so you don't have to keep the shadow once you have the substance. So that's the gist of what should be written down there. Yes. Okay, now if they have the statement, the Sabbath has been fulfilled in Christ, then that's a minus one. That's a minus one. Because that is what he was saying, but what they need to get, the real answer, the real reason he advances, is that they are but a shadow, but the substance is really Jesus Christ. So if they say, well, the Sabbath day was fulfilled in Christ, well, that's close. That's basically what he's saying. But the real precise reason is that they were just a shadow and the substances of Christ. Just minus one. If they say just simply it was fulfilled in Christ, then that's minus one. And the reason why is... Huh? No. Okay. Yes. Okay, speak up a little bit. Okay. Just a shadow of things. Okay, well they have shadow there. I'll be lenient. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yeah. 1 point for that. Yeah. Because really, that, you know, it's a real basic answer. It's not very particular as far as what Paul really said. It's not real precise, so that's the gist of what he's saying. But the actual argument is that they were just a shadow and the substance is Christ. Now, number three, what is the literal meaning of the word translated on? Well, and it should be on part A here, it's in, not on, in. And there would be no other answer that would really be possible unless they put the preposition en, which is spelled E-N, then that would be right too. Now, part B, what truth does this point to concerning John's statement that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Well, it's pointing to the fact that he was projected into a future period of time, namely the day of the Lord. Now, they might not have that exact terminology, but they need to make it very clear that he was projected into a future period of time. He was projected into the time of the second coming. He was projected into the time of future end time events. Something like that is what they need to have. And so when you read it, you need to have that concept in your mind. Okay, let me go through part four, so I'll let you use your own judgment on that.
Okay.
Yes.
I had a question on that one.
Okay.
I put in the Lord's Day, and then for part two, real brief, I said that it was prophetic.
Okay, it was prophetic concerning John's statement that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. It was prophetic.
Because he was in the Lord's Day, meaning the Lord's Day being prophetic.
Well, boy, I wish you would have elaborated a little bit, because the problem is...
No elaboration. You want it brief.
Well, I know. Maybe I should give them 1 point for obedience. See, but the problem is, let me tell you what the problem is there. It says, what truth does this point to concerning John's statement? And if you just say prophetic, I mean, that doesn't really answer what truth does this point to. But I know what you're saying, so we'll give you minus one. Minus one. Yes. Not a certain day, but a period of... Minus one. Because, see, that doesn't necessarily tell you it's projecting in the future day of the Lord. That's just telling you it's not necessarily a 24-hour period of time. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yes. Someone else had their hand up, or? Okay. Yes. Okay, but then you have to look at part B here. You have to look at what's underlined. See, just the word on is not underlined. The whole statement on the Lord's Day is underlined. So you have to consider the whole statement. So you have to look at the statement where it says in the Lord's Day, and you have to consider the whole phrase. And when you consider the whole phrase in the Lord's Day, what truth is that pointing to? It's pointing to the truth that he was in the day of the Lord, see? And so we're not asking you to consider just the preposition in. We're actually asking you to consider the whole phrase in the Lord's Day. And that's why we underlined it like that. So, okay, let's go to part four now. Part four, true or false. Okay, number one, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read all the answers to you. I'm not going to read the responses. So you just mark them wrong if there are any wrong. Number one, A is false, B is true, C is true, D is true, E is true, and F is true. So they're all true except for A. All true except for A. Number two, A is true, B is false, and then all the rest are true. So C, D, E, and F are all true. So number two again, A is true, B is false, and all the rest are true. Okay, now number three, A is false, B is false, C is false, and then the rest are true. A, B, C, are all false, and then D, E, and F are all true. Are there any questions on that you had personally? You can't see why I said what was what? Number three is the first three are false and the second three are true. You're welcome. Yeah. Okay, number 1A. Paul taught that the Sabbath day is still in effect in the New Testament. That's false. He didn't. He did not teach that the Sabbath day was still in effect in the New Testament and that its observance was optional. He didn't teach that at all. What he taught is that there is no day that we need to keep anymore. But let every man be fully persuaded in their own mind. If you feel like you need to keep a day, well, then that's up to you. That's your prerogative. But there's no special day that we need to keep anymore. Well, yeah, but see, that's... Yeah, okay, but the question doesn't say it's still being held. It says it's still in effect, which... When you say it's still in effect, it means you still need to keep it. See? For example, if I tell you, if I make the statement, the speed limit law, 55 miles an hour, is still in effect. Okay, let's hold it down just for a few minutes. Let's hold it down here for just a few minutes here. If I make the statement that the speed limit sign, 55 miles an hour, is still in effect, that means that if you go over that, you can get a ticket because you're breaking the law. Okay, so when I say here that Paul taught the Sabbath day is still in effect in the New Testament, that's saying that Paul is teaching and saying that it still should be kept. It's still in effect. It's still binding. But it's optional. That is, you can keep it if you want to, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. And that's not what he taught. He did not teach it still in effect. See, so I think you're reading something into it that it's not saying. You can be excused. Or pass them back to the owner and take a little break here.
I think what you're confusing it with, you're thinking that Paul taught that Sabbath day was still being held or still being observed, aren't you, in the New Testament. And that's true. I mean, there were Jews still keeping the Sabbath day, there were Christians still keeping it. But this is saying that Paul taught that it was still in effect, which means that we are still obligated to keep it. Okay.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, that's perfect. That's good.
What you thought it was on.